Hello, welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwitt. Type 1, thanks for asking.
Riding sidecar, Dobie Maxwell. Type 2, bringing you the best information in diabetes without using clinical terms since 2016.
And while neither one of us are physicians, well, we don't even play them on TV.
I was dressed as a doctor once at Halloween.
I had such aspirations starting that sentence and it fell flat. So here's the point. We have spring. It's in the air. You're probably doing real well with your resolutions. You're looking at us like, well, what do we do now?
Resolution, like New Year's resolutions?
No, we're already past that. Sure.
I was a little bit late. That's about January 3rd, about 4 in the afternoon. It's when people just start licking the spoon with frosting on it. I'm going to be good. My A1C is going to be negative.
Now, this guy.
I didn't know what an A1C was until I contracted this hideous disease that you brought me into.
It was off the coffee cup. I had nothing to do with that. But, yeah, and basically, when I see you, Dobie, okay, you do well 96 or 7% of the time.
I don't know if it's that high.
84.
I try to do well. That's why we're on the air, is to help people that are pre-diabetic, type 2, type 1. Type 1 is, that's a little more serious.
We like to refer to that as the big boy diabetes.
That's the
thank
big
you,
one.
Thank you so much.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and so that's the whole point of the show. We'll get you through it. Let's start up with some news, because there is, well, actually, we screwed that up. The website, thediabeticshow.com. The email, mark@thediabeticshow.com.
And Dobie, did you want to send me anything diabetes-related? Please do not send me any Nigerian princes, diabetic or not.
No,
if I'm not getting that $12 million, don't waste my time.
He's waiting back on the last three.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Did we get this one? These are 10 people you should meet.
When?
No, did you ever get those emails?
Here are
10 people that you should meet. I don't know if it's for romantic purposes or whatever, but it basically looks like who's who in mental illness. So if that's where they're trying to get me up with. So I'm saying we're not just trolling for emails here. We're trying to be serious about diabetes.
Yeah, true enough.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. So we appreciate all the questions. As a matter of fact, we'll have another Dealer's Choice this show. We will be talking again with our specialist, Donna Swanson, from United Hospital System. So we'll be going through the mailbag.
We need to ask her, I'm going to be flat out straight, we need to ask Donna about alcohol consumption. Because especially around this time, it's diabetic or not, St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Eve. Very well that especially in Wisconsin, if they pull you over for drunk driving on St. Patrick's Day and you're not, you better be. They'll give you a Schlitz and send you down the road.
The paper sound effect is actually a piece of paper that I'm wearing.
Read the question, Daddy.
This one is actually, it's more of a release from the American Diabetes Association. Fine, folks, thank you so much for trying on my behalf and so many others.
That's the national office?
I'm assuming.
Do they have a state headquarters? I have to ask Don about this.
They're almost everywhere.
Like Starbucks?
Here's their warning about drinking. And I don't know if this is just coincidence, but again, this week, or at least we're in the ballpark, the neighborhood of St. Patrick's Day. And you kind of notice it's right around this week every year the American Diabetes Association comes out with a warning about drinking when you have an Irish celebration somewhere around that time of year.
I'm not trying to get ethnic. I'm just saying that in Wisconsin, I happen to not be a drinker, but everywhere else is, and especially Wisconsin is like the home office. So many listeners might like to imbibe in a cocktail on occasion. I knew someone that used to put whiskey on cornflakes.
Well, there's such thing, I guess, as good drink, bad drink.
Well, it's sugar is what I'm saying.
It's so much.
Yeah.
So here's what they're saying. If you were asking the question about whether you should be drinking, especially on, say, Patty's Day or once a week or once a day, I don't know, whatever your daily is, if at all, the first question you ask yourself is your diabetes under control? Good question.
Okay.
All right. Then also, check with your health provider. Do you have the health providers that alcohol could make worse? Diabetic nerve damage, very bad, especially if you're going to be drinking, or high blood pressure, or the meds that go along with that. You want to kind of
We got to ask Donna this though. I got to believe though. I'm not saying I'm a prude and I don't think anybody should drink, but can you plan for it?
What I was told, and hopefully get some confirmation with Donna in this next section, if you work it in, first off, you have to work it in to your daily plan. Or at least the day that you're doing it plan. And then secondly, what the body does with the alcohol once it's in your body, it's a whole other ballpark. It could make it quite not such a good thing, especially for somebody in my neck of the woods where it's a type 1 situation. I really depend on the insulin. I really depend on what the pancreas is doing, as well as the liver. And I know we'll talk to Donna about this We'll leave that as the key, or the trick. We'll get into the next break with Don, and we'll break that down a little bit.
So if you're listening, put the cocktail on the table and let us finish this big bit.
So bottom line, consult with your physician before the drinking. Monitor your blood sugars before, during, and after, especially after. Before you go to bed, make sure that your blood's fine because it could surprise you.
Now, have you had experience with this?
Yes. For me, if I have a cocktail, even one, the sugars drop.
Your blood sugar drops.
Blood sugar drops. Hmm. And if you're not planning for that, it can make for a very bumpy evening, hypoglycemia and everything that's associated with that. And also, they say be prepared. Always carry glucose tablets just in case because of the situation with the sugar. Never mix the alcohol and exercise. Of course, never mix the alcohol and drugs. And Dobie, never drink and marry.
Drink and marry?
No. You maybe,
that's how my parents got here.
Yeah,
I'll never do that again.
You know, you take the complications from that marriage, it makes type 1 seem like child.
Back up, what did you say before that? There was one before that I wanted to comment on.
Oh, as far as the be prepared, carry the tablets?
Yeah.
Yes.
So everybody should
Well, I'm not sure about your side of
type
the ship. For my side of the ship, I've got chemicals that will be releasing insulin, and I really have very little to say about it once it hits my bloodstream and is lurking in there, like communist. So anyway, the situation is be prepared. Just don't go off on a limb, and you always read the one is okay, two is borderline number of drinks now, three, you're in a whole other ballpark, and it's doing your body bad. As far as any good you might be driving that some people say you can get from the alcohol, you're wiping all that goodness out once you get past the third drink. So I tell you what, Dobie, let's take the break here, all right? Thank you, Troy. We'll come back. We've got the email bag of tricks. We'll go over with our guest again, Donna Swanson. And you are listening to The Diabetic Show. And welcome back to The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett.
Dobie Maxwell.
Mark at thediabeticshow.com.
Correct.
Dobie thediabeticshow.com.
I have enough emails.
D-O-B-I-E.
I'm the sidekick. They want to talk to Batman, not Robin.
Sometimes they like to speak to the spice.
Okay.
Okay. Especially some lawyers. So anyway, I tell you what. Let's get off to the emails. And like we gave you the emails. You can go to the Facebook site. We're getting hits, Dobie. It's very exciting. And with us, of course, another regular here, Donna Swanson from UHS, United Hospital System. Thanks for stopping by and saying hello again.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, excellent, Donna. Now, here, first off.
Donna's got a note here.
I was going to announce
something on the radio.
That's true.
Go ahead, Donna. You have a shout-out?
So before we get started, I just want to give a shout-out, and thank you so much for letting me do this, to our Catholic Central High School in Burlington, which is somewhat local to here, Kenosha.
Sure.
But our Catholic Central High School basketball varsity team went up and played for the in the state Division 5 tournament for the state title. They won this morning.
Yay!
Excitingly. I don't have the score, but I did hear about it, and I am so psyched and excited for those boys because they've worked so hard for it and have had to overcome a lot of adversity this year. So we're all rooting for them really strong throughout southeastern Wisconsin that they bring home that title from Madison. They play again tomorrow for the Wisconsin state title. So congratulations to the Burlington Catholic Central varsity basketball
team. What's the nickname of the team?
Well, Toppers.
Toppers.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about the T-shirts that everybody's been wearing. They've been wearing, like I said, they've overcome a lot of adversity. A couple of their players this year got in a serious accident.
No.
The team really pulled together, and so did these players. They've been showing up. And
great.
Great southeastern Wisconsin support.
Love to hear that.
Yep. So they've been wearing these Team Peanut shirts in support of one of their players. So
now you say that's Division 5?
Division 5.
Are they playing like homeschool teams or something?
You would not believe. Everybody thinks Division 5, it's like this week.
Yeah, no offense. It just sounds kind of, you know.
If you saw some of the competition these boys have gone up against, last year they were playing against 6'7" Diamond Stone. I mean, just incredible. And he's now playing for Maryland. Mm-hmm. But that division, boy, they have got some serious talent out there. It's crazy. But to watch these games are I would definitely put it up with watching a collegiate game. It's very impressive.
A lot of heart in those.
Any diabetics on the team?
Not on that team, but my daughter plays varsity.
She does.
At Catholic Central, right. Yeah, on the girls' team.
Now, see, that's a good thing to bring up. I think we should encourage people that are diabetic that can play sports. Does she have any issues that would lead her to not be, I don't want to say equal, but does she have issues that only she has to worry about that other players don't?
Certainly there are challenges. As you could ask any athlete out there that plays with diabetes, they have got challenges that most people just do not have to consider. High mm-hmm. blood sugar, low blood sugar. Basketball in particular tends to generate an adrenaline spike, much like football
sure.
tends to. So you get this huge adrenaline spike, which leads to high blood sugars. And then after the game, they usually are contending with low blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
So activity, like we've discussed in past shows, tends to be a little tricky to
the balance.
Well, Mark talked about glucose pills, tablets.
Yep.
Do the athletes have to carry those maybe?
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's looked like a chipmunk on the sidelines many a time, shoving those in her mouth to treat a low.
Okay.
And get back out there and play
sure.
right away.
And get right, see? Yeah. That's the thing.
Do you want those big Hershey bars, those big block Hershey bars?
They're my dream still. Diabetic, 27 years. I dream about those darn bars. Okay, let's move on to the emails. These always go so fast. And thank you so much for giving them
Toppers.
To us.
Go
yes.
Toppers.
Yes.
All righty. Donna, I've got one from Debbie. Pleasant Prairie, right down the road here. Yesterday evening, went out with a friend for her birthday. She's been so good / strict these past few months. She figured she'd let it go. She ate a roll, a bunless burger salad, and because she really wanted Dairy Queen for her birthday, we went there for dessert. Yeah, I always say that when I drive my friend to Dairy Queen, their idea. But anyway, the whole point of it is she couldn't resist. She got a kid-sized chocolate cone. I always go kid-sized. You can always ask for little sizes, and they'll be happy to give it to you while charging you the same price. So anyway, go right ahead. And as I'm lost
baby walrus.
Basically, she's worried uh-huh. about blood sugar spikes, how you prepare for blood sugar spikes. Can a type 1 diabetic have cheat days, Donna?
Well, was she a type 1?
I don't know. Did she mention it or not?
I
can't get it here.
I guess it doesn't matter.
It really,
my thoughts on this, and I love the question, and I want to say first off, kudos to Debbie in Pleasant Prairie, because even though she's viewing herself as though she's cheating, she's clearly exercising portion control,
right.
which is huge. And she's going bunless on the burger. So she's putting a lot more thought into this than she's given herself credit for. So my guess is she's probably taking – I really like the comment where she said before it would – eating a meal like that would put her around 160. And 2 hours after she tested, after eating that meal, she was only 109.
Yeah, and now to keep people back up on those graphs we want to stay between 80 and 120, ideally.
Yes.
Real life, 160? You're in the ballpark.
Say 80 to 130 is the American Diabetes recommendation.
There
but
you go.
That is before meals, if you're testing before meals. If you're testing after meals, it should be like less than 140.
Right.
So, and the American Diabetes Association says some literature will say less than 180, but ideally less than 140, I would say. And in her case, they're forbidden foods. If you're eating healthy most of the time and you're following your meal plan, and it sounds like she did not go excessive on the carbs, she's probably following her meal plan. I'm a big advocate for not having guilt if you live once in a while and you do something that you should not, is not the healthiest choice. But if you're living disciplined, and I would like to say, if she, we'd need more information to see what her meal plan looks like, what she's eating day to day. But clearly, if that gave her 2 hours after a blood sugar of 160, and now it's only given her a blood sugar of 109, she is clearly following some restraint, and she's following a plan. She's probably being a little more consistent with her diet. And my guess is she's probably exercising, doing things that are going to make her a little more sensitive to her insulin. So I would like to just say kudos to her. I think she shouldn't have guilt in she's exercising. The big thing is when people eat things that they know are not good for them, following your meal plan still. Like in this case, the ice cream. We know ice cream is not the healthiest thing, but she went kid size. She probably ate, for a woman, average amount of carbs, probably 30 to 45 grams. Maybe dinner might be 45 to 60. The meal she's describing, it doesn't sound like she went over 45 grams of carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is, even though it wasn't the healthiest, she probably wasn't putting herself in a situation where she was going to get a big blood sugar spike, and I wouldn't feel guilty over it, especially if she's doing everything else right.
I think a good rule of thumb would be, if there's a comma in your blood sugar, put down the maple syrup.
But, yes.
I've got to ask this, Donna. I'm sorry, you maybe not know. What is the highest blood sugar ever recorded?
Recorded? I don't know. I could tell you the highest one I've ever seen. I've seen them 1,200.
Oh, yeah, that's big time.
And I've seen them as low as 10. Usually they're not doing very good with those numbers.
Wow. I'm not laughing, but
those are critical.
I had 500 when I was diagnosed, and I was so stupid. I said, "Is that good?" And they said, "You're not going anywhere today. Well, you're staying here."
From my side of it, I got at that point when I was diagnosed, it was 775.
Whoa!
And you're in this. I don't want to say fog, but it is a fog.
Funk.
A funk. Mm-hmm. A very good glucose riddled funk, because apparently, I made some phone calls that day that I was diagnosed. I didn't remember. Uh-huh. Thank goodness. And, overall, the whole point of it, Dobie, at least for me, and I'm sure for most type 1s that aren't aware of it, and a good chunk of type 2s that are uncontrolled, it's a slow process, but speeds up within a week. Within a week, I lost the first 10 pounds on my way to losing 25 inside of 3 weeks. Between being diagnosed and at least getting the cart back on the path to where I got under 200 again and held it that way for 24 hours. So, yeah, to answer your question, it's huge. It's big. And you're 500. You weren't even...
No, I wasn't even, not even...
No,
10, that's impressive. 1,200, okay, I'm just...
But that's another thing. And actually, it leads in. Dobie, why don't you...
Oh, we have another
take
email.
Take care of Mandy's question.
Mandy's from Lyons. I don't know where Lyons is, but we're glad you're listening,
Mandy.
It's
down the road a piece.
I'm sure it is. So is Timbuktu. I've been a type 1 for a year and had my first low sugar episode. I got sweaty and panicked. Sounded like it was a first date, actually, but it was... Apparently not. I was fortunate to be right in front of carbs when this happened, but what triggers this effect? Were there any tip-offs before I get like this?
Let me answer first, and then the person actually
Oh, we
want to
let the expert talk. We'll let you talk.
Thank
Go right
you.
Ahead. Sure.
For the hypoglycemia,
yeah.
Anxiety, number one. And maybe that's a sweat, or the sweat causes the anxiety, or anxiety, whatever, a cart before the horse. That was the worst part for me. And then you start forgetting. I mean, real hard, you start losing contact with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two that I've got, and I can't remember after that. You put the tablet in your mouth at that moment. So and hopefully it's fast-acting carb, like fortunately for Mandy. I tell you what, we run out of time for this segment. Let's take the break here.
Okay.
Come, Brent, and we'll ask the professional. All right?
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for that, Troy. I'll take the break here. This is The Diabetic Show. We will be right back. Diabetic Show. My name's Mark Philwett.
I'm Dobie Maxwell.
And we have a dealer's choice grab bag off the email. And that would be going mark@thediabeticshow.com.
Let's just let the questions go to Mark, because we're harvesting a very good batch of these.
That's true, actually. So I'm not going to argue with you.
So I'm saying you'll be the harvester, and I'll just ask the dumb questions, and Donna will make us look good like she usually does, and the listeners will be entertained. That's a perfect formula.
Okay, then all lawsuits directed that way. I'm pointing to the
left. Real quick before this, Donna, are you sure the team is the Toppers, or is it the Hilltoppers?
The Hilltoppers.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The shout out will be for the Hilltoppers.
I just want to make sure that we get
Catholic
this
Central
right.
Hilltoppers.
Catholic Central.
Catholic Central Hilltoppers.
Burlington.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Union Grove, Burlington.
Burlington.
Gotcha. Okay.
And for your geographic location, Lyons happens to be right next to Burlington. Just
now, there's
FYI.
A Lyons, Illinois, and I didn't think our signal went that far.
It's right off of a rustic road. That's all I know. So, already. Let's get back to the low sugar signals.
Yes, yes.
Hypoglycemia. We are assuming that Mandy is either type 1 or she's taking the meds that lower it if you're type 2.
Yeah.
Any more tip-offs?
Yes,
or is
yes.
this individual? Go ahead.
Well, in type 1 and type 2, everybody that takes any medication that is designed to lower blood sugar can always have the risk of lowering it too much. So in type 1, the risk would be insulin. You want to eat on schedule, monitor your blood sugar before meals, before bedtime. That's the first and best way to make sure that your blood sugar is, you're monitoring it effectively. The next thing is, okay, so, excuse me, the causes, what would cause hypoglycemia, being aware of what puts you at risk for it. So what can cause it? Too much insulin. Maybe you miscounted your carbohydrates, because we got to remember we're trying to, carbohydrates are sugar, and we're trying to balance our intake of sugar with the amount of insulin we take. In type 1, we're essentially trying to be a pancreas. So if we are slightly off, it can make your blood sugar go too low. So too much insulin in that case, exercise. The one that is very common in the summertime, which always in type 1 and type 2, is somebody's on insulin or on an oral hypoglycemic, and they eat breakfast at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. Then they wait 4 hours. They decide to cut the grass. And they add activity to it. Now we've got heat as a factor as well that are all working to lower blood sugar. And they decide they're going to eat lunch at after they get done. It takes an hour to cut the grass. They've just exercised, essentially. And heat makes insulin absorb more quickly. So now we've got three factors all working to lower blood sugar. And we've just dropped our insulin needs. So and waited to eat. So making sure that you test your blood sugar before activity, those sort of things, eating on schedule. So in type 1, you're usually, not always, but usually on a rapid-acting insulin and a long-acting insulin. And rapid-acting insulins are usually done working in about 4 to 5 hours.
Well, I know I use Humalog, and I'm supposed to shoot as I taste the food or very shortly before it, not too shortly before it either, or not too far before it. And about 3 hours, it supposedly is done, or at least it's played its part. And now,
about four,
I move on to the long acting from there that kind of holds me over.
And in her case, it sounds like she wants some idea of what are the warning signs. Everybody is unique and individual in how they experience hypoglycemia, but the most common signs are shaky, sweaty, confusion, like you had talked about, and that's because those those cells need sugar to function. So if you start getting a little confused, your brain needs sugar to function. So treating hypoglycemia, one of the things that you want to remember too, if this happens, is you want to test your blood sugar at the first sign before it gets too severe. If your blood sugar is somewhere, so you get the symptoms, you want to test, make sure you're getting a good reading, and if your blood sugar is between 50 and 70, I would take 15 grams of a rapid-acting carbohydrate. So that can be 4 ounces of juice, 4 ounces of regular soda, 3 to 4 glucose tabs. If your blood sugar is more severe, like less than 50, you want to treat it a little more aggressively and double that amount. Do 8 ounces of soda, because everybody's sensitivity is slightly different. But as a general rule, about 15 grams should elevate a blood sugar approximately 40 to 50 milligrams per deciliter.
The problem I find being a type 1 is I will be chasing highs and lows. I'll be so low, I will panic. And then 4 ounces, no, that's not enough. It is not enough.
Right.
And then you have 8 or 12.
Exactly.
And then you're back up to 250, 260, and then what do I do?
Right. That's a rebound high. So that's what I'm describing is what we call the rule of 15. 15 grams of carbohydrate should bring you up about 40 to 50 points. Now, excuse me, if you test again in 10 to 15 minutes and you're doing a rapid-acting carbohydrate, it should bring you up. If you're doing regular soda or juice or something like that, that should digest in 10 to 15 minutes. You test again. If it's not above 70, then you do it again. If you bring it up incrementally and treat it every 15 minutes until you're at a target blood sugar, it shouldn't cause that rebound high that you're describing. Now, conversely, if somebody does, I've had patients that have brought in big old Snicker bars and said, oh, no, don't worry about it. I offer them juice. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I got something in my purse. I'm like, oh, that's going to take too long to digest. And
You mean the fat doesn't help?
Yeah, no, not in this case. Okay. And it takes longer for you to feel better.
Which really?
Yes.
To have the body break it to where it needs to be.
Now, if there's nothing else available, you take any source of sugar you can get your hands on.
Snort Nestle's Quick. I've done that in the past.
Bosco. No, that's wet. What's the dry stuff? Wouldn't that Bosco too?
Ovaltine.
Ovaltine. Yeah. No, too gritty. Anyway. Let's hit one last email before we get out of here. We have a few here. Troy, thank you very much. This was a good one. Jim, he said, put down Jim Wisconsin. So we'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening, Jim. Jim got a new doctor. He thinks he's going to like him. Now, I'm kind of reading in and out of Jim's message. He listened to me, explained diabetes more to me, and told me to focus more on my A1Cs. That's the long-term numbers for you folks. Then my numbers, which I'm assuming he means his numbers, like the last test. He said the spikes are what I need to control. Not exactly the numbers. He said in a month's time, 4 to 5 high numbers won't hurt my A1C. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. He said, my numbers are looking good, though. He's willing to work with me, though, to get my numbers lower. And he goes on to say he had his metformin upped, and they're going to see what happens after this if he doesn't get the desired results. They'll be talking about new meds. But I think the most important part about Jim's message, I think I like him. Well, not me with Jim, just Jim with his doctor. Jim likes his new doctor. Mainly, it's because he listened to me and didn't wave my concerns off. I mean, how important is that to have a partner?
No, that's fantastic. It's wonderful. And I think having a good rapport with your physician and being your, as a patient, being your own best advocate is vitally important, especially when you have a chronic disease. The A1C, I think it's very important to touch on a couple of his concerns there. It's about a 3-month average, but I would also say that self-monitoring is vital. You've got to be able to see what your trends are because, like his doctor described, he said 4 or 5 high numbers a month aren't going to hurt him. Well, anytime somebody has, we're seeing complications in prediabetes.
Right.
Being able to see trends in blood sugar and when it's elevated, we should be able to see the cause and effect, and you do that through daily self-management. Testing, I would follow his doctor's advice, test every day. The metformin, it's normal to start out slowly, titrate up to a dose where you're eventually on 2,000 milligrams a day. That's 1,000 in the morning, 1,000 in the evening. So all of that sounds great. The other part he picked up on was he was busy and ended up having some fast food, and his blood sugar was,
of course.
Planning is the key to getting around that. If you have a food prep day and once a week you plan out your healthy meals, then you're going to do much better that whole week. And I would encourage getting a Carb King book or Calorie King if you look that up online. Then you can pick, even when you're in those pickles, you can pick healthy foods that fit into your meal plan.
Beautiful.
Most of these places.
Excellent message. Excellent. No, Jim, thank you so much. And reach out to us at the Facebook page, The Diabetic Show, the website, thediabeticshow.com, Mark at Lake County, or what am I saying, Mark at thediabeticshow.com. Dobie, D-O-B-I-E, at thediabeticshow.com. Donna, thank you so much for stopping by. Tell us a little bit about UHS in 10 seconds or less.
We are a great hospital system. We are filled with lots of experts and professionals. We encourage if anybody has any diabetes questions, stop on in. We'll be happy to work with you. And
very good. Very. I didn't think you could do it.
10 seconds or less. Yikes.
Very good. Dobie.
Publix, I have nothing to say. Donna said it all.
It's been too easy.
It's all good.
All right. Producer, Troy, the button man, thank you so much. Appreciate everything. He gives us all these hand signals, which we will not talk about here. We'll see you this next time. Appreciate you listening. The Diabetic Show. No sugar tonight, my coffee. No sugar tonight, my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run at me.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
And a very pleasant good morning, everyone. I'm your host today for Education Matters, Steve Brown. Once again, we are taking Education Matters out on the road.